So we've been talking a lot the last few weeks about sowing. And why does the apostle sow? Definitely to bring forth the Son of God, correct? That's why. So what does he sow? Okay, or the seed, whatever you want to call it, right? The parable would call it the seed. The sower went forth to sow, and he sowed seed. So apostolically, the apostle is sowing seed. And what's the seed going to do? It's going to go into the ground and die and bring forth much fruit, correct? So we sow here a lot. We sow a lot of seed, amen? And the expectation for the seed from the perspective of God, okay? So from the perspective of God, then the expectation of the seed that it is going to bring forth much fruit, bring forth the Son of God, the sons of God. Not just son, but sons of God. Interesting. In Abraham had two sons, didn't he? A wheat and a tare? Correct? Did he have more? Yes. So after Sarah died, he married again. He married a woman by the name of Keturah. How many children did he have with Keturah? Many. So here's the marvelous thing about Abraham. Abraham continued to birth children until the day he died. Is that significant? Is that awesome? I'm going to tell you, it is awesome. We're not talking about children in the flesh. We're talking about children that came from the understanding of faithfulness to God. Abraham was the father of faith. And many things came to Abraham because of God counting him to be faithful to what he heard in the Word of God. Did not the promise, Isaac, come to Abraham because of his faithfulness to what he heard in the Word of God? Yes, it did. Did it cause him to begin to walk in a place where he lived in dreams and visions of those things that were to come through the prophecy of the Son? Through the promise of the Son. It did. Many things. Even where he could see the Lord come, stand before him and Sarah. Sarah would laugh at what God would say, right? And would the prophecy continue even though she laughed at God? Did that disannul the promise? No. Did it make the promise of none effect? No. Because the Word of God is what? It's the Word of God. Right? So listen, what has been sown into you is the Word of God. Can anything that you do on your part disannul the Word of God? Can it take you out of a generation or two or three or four? Yes, it can. But can it disannul the Word of God? No, it cannot. So, would you rather know that now, or do you want to wait four more generations before you begin to understand that a little bit? We want to know it today. We want to believe. Now, Abraham is important in the Scripture for this very thing, is that he became the father of faith. How about in you? Is he the father of faith in you? How do you know that he's the father of faith in you? The Word has said it. The Word has been sown in prophecy, and in prophecy are all the generations of God then put in action or put in motion in you by the prophecy of the Word of God. Yes, every generation, beginning with who? Adam. This is why when I begin to think on these things, as the Bible would say, on the preached Word of God, when I begin to think on the preached Word of God, can I go into Abraham, or can God take me into Abraham, however you want to say it, both are true, where I begin to have a conversation with Abraham about how he became righteous in the eyes of the Lord. Turn to Genesis, I think it's the 17th chapter. Don't quote me on that. And I'm going to mark this right here. 15. Genesis 15. Now listen. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. So now are we in the spirit or in the flesh? We're in the spirit. Saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. So, when Abraham told God he had no seed, what was he telling God? He had no understanding. There was no word in him to bring forth the promise of God. Was he in a vision? Was he talking with God? How did he get there? By the word of God. So now, is he communing with the word of God? That's the big question. Who's he communing with here? The word of the Lord came to him in a vision. So now, who's he fellowshipping with? The Lord, the word of God. Is Jesus Christ the word of God? So, is he now fellowshipping with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the promise of every generation? Yes, he is. So if I fellowship with the Son of God, who is the promise in every generation, am I going to receive a promise from the promise? Am I going to receive the revelation? Is Jesus in me going to receive the revelation of Jesus Christ? You understand what I'm saying in that? Who can bring forth the promise? Only the promise. Are we not created in the image of God? So, God said, let us make man in our image. Who was the promise? Jesus Christ, the Word of God. He was the promise. He's the one that brings forth it all. So every seed sown is going to bring forth who? Jesus Christ. Is he not the fruit of God? Is he not the bowels of God? Is he not the Son of God? Let's go on. And Abraham said, excuse me. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. So it's not what comes forth from the bowels of Eleazar, the priest of Damascus. Don't look at that. Are you with me? So, can I take seed from another man and have the promise sown in me? Or do I need the seed of God? I need the seed of God. That's why, can I save you? No. Can I save you? No. Can I save you? Who do you need to save you? You need the Word of God. You need the revelation of Jesus Christ. So why do I sow? What's the purpose of me sowing it to you? Okay? So that you'll believe that word. Only if you know that what I'm speaking to you is what? The word of God. I'm not coming to you as a man called Dave. Right? That's not who's sent. Who's sent? The apostle whom is called the Word of God. Very important for us to begin to frame that in our thoughts. Amen? This shall not be thine heir, but out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Oh my gosh. So he took him out on a plateau, said, look up there. Can you see the stars? Abram, can you see those stars? And Abram said, yes. And what did God, now the word of God is talking here. He says, Abram, so shall thy seed be. Now, is that a promise of God? To who? to Abraham, or to Abram, let's say, correct? But let me ask you this. Is Abram in you? Is Christ in you? Is Abram in Christ? Obviously, he is. He's in the Word of God, correct? I'm reading from the Word of God. A witness from heaven that is true. And a lot of times when we ascribe to, in our thoughts, these things that are in the Word of God, in the Bible, let's just say it that way, we have it as a testimony to ourselves that as Abraham was, I am. In other words, if Abram could go into a vision by the word of the Lord and receive the promise, knowing that as the stars of heaven, so shall thy seed be, then is it true in me? Yes. So anyone who begins to think that they're not capable of these things, they're listening to the fleshly mind, and they are disannulling the truth that has come by promise through the prophecy of the Word of God. Are you with me? You understand what I'm saying here? This is why we live and move and have our being by the Spirit of God. Because the carnal mind will never be as God. Say amen. The carnal mind will never agree with God. Say amen. It's not capable of it. It's the enemy of God. Now, what's going to happen to the carnal mind? Oh, so even those thoughts that I know that are against God in me, the Word of God is so powerful that it's going to overcome the enemy and do what to him? Regenerated as what? A son. That's why it's important to understand. So let's just look at the question that was asked this morning earlier. So even in the thoughts, correct? I have all these thoughts in my mind about the second coming of Jesus Christ. In my generations, I'm not looking at the flesh now. I'm not looking at my brother or my sister or my mother or my father. In the flesh. In my mind, I now know that all those thoughts are going to come forth as what? The Son of God. But what has to happen to him in the generations? They have to be regenerated. In other words, they have to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. That's why Romans 12, 1 and 2 is such a powerful thing. So, me in the Spirit, in the power of the resurrection, right? I'm becoming in my world. Who am I becoming? I'm becoming Christ. So, as Christ in my world, to my generations, am I going to be sent to my generations? Why am I going to be sent to it? To preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to where I can go into their spirit and overcome those thoughts and transform them into the thoughts that are true. Absolutely, John. So I become not only Abraham, Isaac, right? Joseph, Moses, Samuel, David. But in Christ are they all in me. So every thought, like you said, John, every knee bowed, every tongue confessing who? Jesus Christ. So as the sent word of God, every generation bowing to Jesus Christ. Every generation knowing who he is. So that when I enter in by the Spirit to them, what testimony are they going to receive? the testimony of Jesus Christ in truth. You can only work the truth in spirit. You can't work the truth in flesh. No one's capable of that. Can it be sent into flesh? Yeah. But to work it how? In spirit. You understand what I'm saying this morning? So here's Abraham, correct? He's receiving a promise through prophecy. God prophesied to Abraham time and time and time again, keeping him informed of his progress in the Word of God. Is God doing the same for you? Oh, yes, he is. Now listen to this. I'm going to read 5 again. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if you be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. God said, see those stars? So shall your seed be. Not seeds as of many, but to thy seed, which is one. Galatians. What's your seed? Who's your seed? Jesus Christ. In that seed, are there many? Oh, now listen. And Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for what? For righteousness. So if you believe in the promise, is God counting you righteous? So what about your works then? Your works are unrighteous. Who's already worked it for you? The promise is that you will be. If you believe God, is it counted to you for righteousness? Is that simple, John? Yeah. It's just that simple. And yet, in our minds, we want to complicate the whole thing. We complicate it to the point that we remove ourselves from the promise of God through reasoning, right? Now, we can go on to examine Abraham here if we wanted to for a moment. Did Abraham begin to reason the Word of God? Yes, he did, right? Mm-hmm. So he reasoned the Word of God and brought forth what did he bring forth? An Ishmael, which is a tare, if we wanted to speak about it parabolically, right? So who sowed Ishmael? Sin, right? Abraham was who? A son of God, living in the promises of God by his word. He began to reason the word sown. When he reasoned the word sown in his own mind, did he sow seed? And what did it bring forth? It brought forth a tare. So who sowed the tare? An enemy did this. That's why the parables are so valuable to us, is because it begins to show us how we think to bring forth wheat and tares. Man, you go start with the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. It's just parable after parable after parable after parable after parable, showing you the difference between him who is righteous and him who is not. To the point that Jesus Christ says it this way, I'm going to leave you. Oh my God. You can't go away. Hey, if I don't go away, I can't send the Comforter. But if I go away, the Comforter will come and he will bring you into the remembrance of everything that I have said to you. So did Abraham need Jesus to go away? So where was Abraham kept? until Jesus went away. Under the altar, we have preached that to you. So that in the resurrection, every generation in Jesus Christ comes alive in testimony of the truth. So does Jesus have to go away, John? He does. Now, Peter, skip ahead. As Jesus spoke to his disciples for 3.5 years, did he bring them into the promise? And in the promise, did he speak to them about Abraham and Isaac? Even though they'd heard that word, they went to the temple every day, right? Went to the synagogue to hear the reading of the scriptures. That's how they started their day. They did not go get in their boats and go fishing until they'd went to the synagogue to hear the word of the Lord. That was their daily life. And in doing so, the stirring up of the mind began to tell them what? Jesus, the Messiah, is coming. Did they begin to seek out the Messiah? The Bible says they did. Even to the point where they went out to John, got baptized of John to open the door, open their understanding to the coming of Jesus. The promise of the Father. Amen? And so the disciples, when they begin to understand or begin to seek out the Messiah from the Scripture, what was happening in their mind to the Pharisaical thought? Come on. Yeah. So when Jesus began to speak to them, were they in tribulation? Did Jesus tell them, hey, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But fear not. Right? Fear not, for I have overcome the world. Do you believe God today? Yet, we will let tribulation do what to us? Take us out. I mean, we allow it to take us right out of the thought of God, man. And we will beat ourselves up over it. That war in the mind becomes so great that now we can't even hear God. But the time is coming where we're going to be strengthened by these things greatly. The overcomer is coming forth. Do you believe God today? He's coming. So the preaching of the gospel, was it true in Abraham? Is it true in you today? Yes, it is. If I do what? If I believe God. So prophecy has come to tell you you're a son of God. Now are you a son yet? Not yet. So now I have a hope that when I see him, you will see him as he is. You will know that that is the Son of God. I can hear and see the Son of God. Doesn't faith come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God? So when God counted Abram righteous, faithful, could Abraham hear the word of God? Yes, he could. Isn't that what translated him from Abram to Abraham? Now we'll go to 17. Well, we could go in 15 and look at the deep sleep and all that stuff. Let's just go move forward. I'm not trying to belabor a lot of these things today. I just want to make sure you understand that what has been sown in you is true. It is true. It is not a lie. It's not a fairy tale. It's not fictitious. It is true. 16 is where Abraham goes into Hagar. Okay? 17. And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram, when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou what? How can you be perfect? How could Abram be perfect? How could you be perfect? By faith. Faith in what? In what God said is true. You're going to have a son. So, God prophesied to Abraham that he was going to have a son. Is that same prophecy in you of a truth? Yes, it is. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. So now, is God stepping it up for Abram? Yeah, brought him into the prophecy, correct? Said, be perfect. How are you going to be perfect? You're going to agree with God, right? I'm going to agree with the Word of God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Agree with the Word of God. Agree with what I told you, Abram. And now he says, what? I'm going to make a covenant. What's a covenant? Promise or contract. He's going to enter into a contract or a testimony with Abram, right? Now, can God break that contract? No. He has sworn with an oath. So is God going to forsake you? So listen here. I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. So now, in the contract, he's telling Abraham what? Oh, right? You're going to become plenteous. You're going to multiply. So what's going to multiply? The Word of God. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. You shall be a father of many nations. Neither shall your name any more be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. A what? A father. Now, to become a son is one thing. To become a father is another. Because what can a father do? Reproduce. It can birth children. Isn't that amazing? So God is entering into a covenant with Abram, telling him, you're not going to be called Abram anymore. You're now going to be called Abraham. And as Abraham, through the covenant, through the covenant of promise, you're going to be able to multiply exceedingly. Now, in the flesh, we don't get it. And we don't have an expectation of flesh getting it anyway. Amen? Because it's, what is the flesh? It's the enmity, right? I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings shall come out of you. Did you hear that? So the kingdoms of this world, the one in me, have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. And it says that in the book of Revelation. We're in the first book. The last book tells me who my kingdoms become in me by the word of his power. I think that's in Revelation 19. Somebody look that up for me. Well, the kingdoms of this world. Let me go on. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto you to your seed after you the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So what's that saying? I'm going to give it to you in a short version. God is making promise to Abraham that every thought in Abraham shall be God. That's the covenant that God made with Abraham. That Abraham, you believe in this word that I'm giving you. You believe in me. As the scripture has said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, and every thought in you shall become my thought. That's the covenant. Can you live with that covenant? I'm going to come over here, see if I can find that scripture before John finds it. Listen to this. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe comes quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign. For what? Forever and ever. So when you enter into covenant with God, because you believe his word, what's going to be the end? But what about your thought? Oh, so I want this over with right now. How many have said that? Right? What are you looking at when you say that? You're looking at the flesh. You are not believing God. It is not faith. Didn't Dan preach? I'm going to tell you this. When Dan spoke, when the elder spoke at the Chicago conference, I will remind you. Was he telling you the truth? So every time you fellowship the Word of God, is there a remembrance? What are you worried about? Worry comes from what? Yeah, listen, this word right here, this is the enemy of faith, this word. Enemy of faith, fear. Fear is the enemy of faith. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men shall do to me. What are men? Thoughts. Thoughts that need what? Need to be regenerated. So am I going to fear those thoughts or am I going to trust God? Listen, we can hear the men that are the enemy of God in us, right? We do not want to give power to those thoughts, to those men. So in order not to give power to those men, what am I going to do? I'm going to believe in the promise, and I'm going to enter into covenant with God that he may reign in me forever and ever. Praise God. That's my end for you today. Trust the Lord. He has accounted righteousness unto you. Before I close, I got to read this too. This is good scripture right here too. All scriptures are good. This is an accounting term. Do you know what it means to impute? It means to transfer. Now listen to this. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God had promised, God was able also to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. So every thought that did not believe it, where did it go? Who died for your sins? So in order for a transfer to take place, correct? Was there a sacrifice where Abraham had to offer blood for the remission of sin? So when Abraham believed God, there was a transfer through the offering of blood, and we could go back in Genesis and read it, but we're not going to take the time to do so. I just want you to believe God here. And through the remission of sins, a transfer, God took Abraham's sin and imputed unto Abraham righteousness. Same with you. So if I believe God, is there a transfer taking place? So every thought that is against God, God takes upon himself. Who's the overcomer? So God takes it and imputes unto you righteousness. For who alone is righteous? Only God can give or make you righteous. Man, I have to listen. Sometimes we have to endure listening to others because we love them and we'll always love them that way. But listen, no man can tell me I am righteous. No man can judge righteousness. No man can impute righteousness. I don't care what the actions of your flesh are. Who can impute righteousness? Only God. So I can appear righteous in the flesh. But what are my thoughts? Who knows my thoughts? Only God knows. Only God knows. Did the Pharisees look righteous? But were they? I'm going to tell you, they were wicked. They were vipers. They were hypocrites. Jesus just called it out like it was, man. And that's what he does in you. When he sees it in you, he tells you what that spirit is. Thus, are we able to be in Christ? Are we able to discern spirits? Oh, man, is it important that we do? Yes, it is. Because as we do, what will we become? Righteous. Is God righteous? Does he impute righteousness to you? Amen. God bless God. Amen. God bless you. That's it.